Hello there.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Spark of Rebellion.
Hello there and welcome to Spark of Rebellion. This is your weekly Star Wars podcast. Welcome to episode 211. We're into the 200s now, getting through and be 250 and then 300 before you know it. So welcome to another week of us waffling about Star Wars. It's good to have my co-host back. I'll bring him on in a second. And my name is Gary. I am one of your co-hosts here on Spark of Rebellion. We hope you've had a good week and you've done something Star Warsy related. I have to admit, it's been a bit quiet on the old news front recently. Not much cracking in terms of Star Wars news, as we're just waiting on big projects to make some progression there. So we've got a few stories to go through today that have got wee updates on things. It's mainly updates on merchandise, to be honest with you. We've got some cool merch. We've got some gaming updates. And then we've got a couple of fun little stories to finish up with, as always. So my name's Gary. As I said, I'm one of your hosts. And let's bring on the guy that's been a busy beaver. A busy bee the last couple of weeks, doing his thing, doing his life and his Star Wars lightsaber battling and all that lot. It's Mr. Mark Asquith. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Yeah. It's been a bit nuts. But now, solid. Getting a bit of Star Wars reading, but not much else. Keeping the old bedtime story alive. But yeah. No, it's been nuts, mate. It's been nuts. What about you? All good?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, dude. Yeah, it's been quiet. The only thing I've done Star Wars-y really is just watching some of the old Bad Batch. I think we're four episodes deep now on that out of, I don't know, 8, 10 episodes, whatever, 20 episodes, whatever it is. We're four episodes in and you and I are going to review that when we get to the end of the series. But I must admit, mate, so far, I'll wait until you've seen some and then we'll, I'll wait until you've given it a watch and then we'll discuss that. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting season, this one for sure, based on the first four seasons at least. But yeah, nothing crazy in the old world of Star Wars. When you read, do you normally read before you, do you read until you pass out and sleep?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, right. Because I started doing that recently. I used to try and be clever about it and be like, right, okay, I'm going to allocate half an hour, 45 minutes to read during the day, like lunch break or whatever. And inevitably, you always end up doing something else. But
a get in bed and that's my last thing for the day.
Right, gotcha. So your brain's ticking over. Yeah, I've been doing that, dude. I like it.
It's good. I just don't get loads read, but I'm reading The Choices of One, the Timothy Zahn. It's the worst one of his so far, you know, struggling to get into it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure it's good, but it's a slog. The first 35% has been tough. But it's because it's set after A New Hope, so Luke's far less interesting. Mara Jade's in it, and she's sort of interesting, but it's just, there's a lot of new, it's like one of those, it's almost a bit heir to the Empire in that there's a lot of new characters. So, you know, anytime there's new characters and there's a lot of them, it can be a stress to just get to know them all.
Sure. I'll read you. Well, hopefully that picks up then, dude.
Yeah.
And hopefully so. Yeah. So I'm mentioning the old reading stuff because it was World Book Day and I think that was yesterday, day before. So obviously here at SOR, we check out many a Doctor Who book. Doctor Who book? Star Wars book. It's because I'm looking at a Doctor Who book right now, I said that.
Whom?
Yeah, if you're posh.
Doctor Whom?
Before we crack on with this week's Star Wars updates, remember to follow this very podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. If this is your first time listening to us, then welcome aboard. It'd be great if you hit that follow button because you won't miss an episode when it lands every single Saturday. You can also listen over on the website for free, which is sparkofrebellion.com, or just add /listen on the end there. That'll take you over to all the podcast apps and whatnot. And we're on the socials too. Just go to sparkrebellion.com again, just put /Twitter or /Instagram and give us a like and a follow over there because we chat Star Wars throughout the week.
Are you awake today?
I'm going to confuse my franchises today, aren't I? Go and check us out for more Lord of the Rings coverage and Marvel goodness.
Everyone likes a bit of DC.
Yeah. Over on the socials, so go and do that. And I'll give you some deets later about how you can support the show if you want to do that. But for now, let's get on to series update for Andor, which is nothing really confirmed by Lucasfilm, anyone like that, but one of the dudes that was in it Stellan Skarsgård. It gives us a possible release window for the second season of Andor, which is interesting. Actors very rarely do this, because normally in interviews there's a guy or a lady that's standing off that you can't see them, and they've got a clipboard or a notepad. And if any of the interviewers even drift into that territory of when are things coming out, what's happening, they're like, I can't answer that. No. But over at Games Radar Plus, he was interviewed there and said, what's the deets with Andor season 2? What's going on? People want to know. And he said, well, it'll probably be out towards the end of the year or of the year early of next year. So we know that Lucasfilm were initially at least, eyeing up a potential 2024 sort of Q4, Q3-ish thing anyway for that, alongside the stuff that they had already confirmed, which was the Acolyte Skeleton Crew and the Bad Batch stuff. So interesting, dude, that one of the guys that was actually in it, and like I said, you rarely hear release window updates from actors or anything, so this could hold some weight, dude. You never know.
Yeah, it's a funny one, because of all the strikes and everything, isn't it? It was it was one of those awkward situations like we saw in 2008 where nothing was really confirmed insofar as releases. So it's, you never really quite know with this, and because of the post that goes on with anything Star Wars in anything, I suppose, anything these days, it's quite heavy. But I think the biggest thing is the marketing. Like, you don't want to get it, you know, you just don't want to get that too wrong. You don't want to rush it because it is such a limited run. Yeah, it's a funny one as well, because we've got the Acolyte coming out, and it's, we know that Marvel and Disney and everyone else at that sort of level are really kind of pulling back on the release schedule, and I guess Star Wars is included in that, you know, quality over quantity. I'm not too miffed if it's early 2025, Q1 25. I always like, there's always something nice about Star Wars coming out in like October, because it's a run up to Christmas. It just feels like the nights are drawing a bit darker in, you know, Wednesday night, sit down and watch something. It's quite nice. So I would hope for that, but yeah, I sort of don't mind on this one. We know it's pretty much in the can. I think Diego Luna said that a bit ago, that it's pretty much in the can. So I'm pretty ambivalent on this one. Pretty ambivalent. I'd be more miffed if it was like the Acolyte was pushed or something, because that's like, I know I'm looking forward to Andor season 2, whereas the Acolyte, there's almost more anticipation. I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it more, but I'm more curious about it, if that makes sense, because it's something so fresh. So yeah. Lesser of two evils there, I think.
Yeah, I get that, dude. And I completely agree as well on the Acolyte, because it's like a two-pronged thing with Andor. Because with Andor season 2, we know that it's going to end at the beginning of Rogue One. So we already know the story with that. And also, like you said, it's already been done and in the can. So we have a lot more sort of concrete information on that one. Whereas the Acolyte's got a bit more mystery about it in terms of because we've seen so little from it. We know the premise, but we've seen so little. So yeah, I get that, dude. And I'd rather have the Acolyte. Definitely don't want that pushed at all. That will happen, though. Now we've said it, that will happen. The Acolyte 2025.
I think it's inevitable that something slips with that, just because of the nature of the strike. You know, if they were, I don't know about the filming of that one. Like, I don't know if, because it was like the writer's strike. Was it? It was a SAG as well, SAG after. So now, yeah, any pickups or anything like that. But I've not heard anything about it. So we might be all right.
Yeah, and we do have our ears to the ground a lot of the time.
We haven't heard anything. Of course we are. Grapevine in it.
Yeah. All right, Kath. God, put your phone away. Not replying to
yet. Texting.
Recording.
Texting and driving, Kath.
God, are you recording now, Gary? Because I've got some more leaks for you.
Stare Kath. With it. More leaks than a farmer's field. Get out, Kath.
And that's her saying it today.
Finally.
She's normally not as polite as that. But old Skarsgård, he did say that he's really up for it. He said he's really happy with this last season, second season. He said it was, this is an interesting one as well, because he said it's satisfying for me because it's sort of Star Wars for grown-ups.
Yeah, that was a one, wasn't it?
He said it's a more realistic and complicated society that they are living in, and the claustrophobia of the fascist regime is palpable. So you can completely see what he's saying there. It does feel like, yeah, it has a bit more of a mature narrative, I guess. But he's happy with it anyway. So if he's happy with it, then who are we to argue?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, it's interesting, Andor. I am excited by it. And because it'll segue into Rogue One, which in turn segues into A New Hope, it's rare that you get such a run at things. Mm. You know, it makes a rewatch a bit of a pain in the arse, doesn't it? Because it's like, I've got to do this. So it, but that's what we're there for. Yeah, that's what we're in for. So I'm quite like it, man.
Good times. So Andor, potentially then, end of 2024. We'll keep you updated on that stuff. Let's talk about some collectibles, shall we? Let's drain the wallet a little bit more. So we got some new Hot Toys. Hot Toys are coming at us thick and fast this year. We've had some, and well, I think off the back of a bunch of really cool figures last year, they're keeping the train going with some really cool ones. And we've got two figures now announced that are going to drop in the first half of next year. And this is Baylan Skull and Shin Hati, those two figures from the Ahsoka series. And in typical Hot Toys fashion, no real complaints on these new ones, dude. Especially Baylan Skull looks very, very cool. The face sculpt is, because that's what you judge these figures on normally. All the other stuff is very cool. The fabric of the costume, you know, and the accessories and all that stuff, it's always very cool. But if you get the face part of it, the head sculpt correct, then that can tip you over from thinking about it to actually picking the figure up. So this looks really cool. And as just on his own, I was going to say, if you pick these up as a two pack, it will look really cool. But even just the Baylan Skull character looks really, really cool. And it's got that poseable stuff. He's on the cool expected stand that you normally get. Just really, really cool, dude. So I don't know if you're fleshing out your Hot Toy stuff at the minute, or if you're just keeping pretty with the ones you've got, but I don't know, how these do look good, dude.
Yeah, I've got the same opinion as you. I like the Shin Hati one, but the Baylan one's better, frankly. And I don't know if it's because of the actress's face, but it looks, because she's got quite an elven face anyway, which is like, she's a beautiful person, but it almost looks, the face sculpt looks like a toy because of her face shape, if that makes sense. Whereas the Baylan one is the lines are heavier and so on and so forth, and the beard obviously adds texture to it. So I'm of the same opinion. I would be buying that one, if any. I've got my Darth Vader Anakin Skywalker from Obi-Wan Kenobi coming on Monday. That's got shipped. Oof, the Hot Toys. Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, they billed it last week. So that's coming, and then the Obi-Wan one should be coming pretty soon as well. And then I got a Keaton Batman, which is coming early next year or late this year. So I am pretty out of space once those three are done. So I'll probably not be getting anything else. But the Baylan one is pretty cool. The ones that they're putting out from Ahsoka are really nice. Like you could build yourself a nice, you know, 12-inch tall diorama of the Ahsoka landscape if you wanted to with these ones, because there's a lot of really nice ones that they've done from that series. So, huge fan of what they're doing with that stuff. But yeah, I don't think I've got the space for it anymore. I think I'm just sort of out of space at the minute.
Yeah, I hear you on that, mate. It's the bane of a lot of collectors, especially for this stuff. You know, it's not, especially when you've got big Lego sets in there as well and books and other stuff. Yeah, it does. It does. Because you need to build some Lego still, don't you? You haven't got the Mos Eisley.
Done it yet. I need to do it. Yeah.
Where are you going to put that?
I have got some room. I have thought of some places for it, but I have got to get it done.
Kitchen countertop.
Just swap out the toaster for it, being honest.
Yeah, don't put the pork pies on there.
Yeah.
Get them out. Jesus. So, anyways, the Hot Toy stuff looking very good, as Mark said. Especially that Baylan figure. Oh, mate, it does look good. No, that's the problem with Hot Toys, is that you look at it, you want to be doing research for the episode, you think, oh, that's a cool news story. Oh, it looks cool. And then the more you look at it as we're talking about it and reviewing stuff, it's like, oh, it does look good. It grows on you.
Yeah, so, that's the thing. They do get you. What are the price points of these? Let's have a quick look.
Probably the usual.
It's going to be a couple hundred bucks. You know, let's have a quick look. I'll have a look on the... So the Baylan one on the site is £229. Mm-hmm. And the Shin one, I would have be shocked if it was
actually doing. We were talking about the Shin figure, and you were saying that the face and stuff, the image that they've got, one of the other images that they've got on this on Jedi News further down, she looks better in that one, you know.
Well, if you look on the sideshow one, the this is just a bizarre thing to say. I think it's just because of how the actress is. I think she's just got really good skin, and she's a very good looking person. She's very got a really good symmetry about her face, and it's just they've done a mold, and it looks like her, but she's almost that perfectly set as a person that it's like the toys used to look, because she's that perfectly set. Do you know what I mean? Whereas like with Bail and the Bail and Skull one, there's a bit of nuance, like there's wrinkles, there's the hair, there's the like, he's not got a symmetrical face. You know, he's like one eyebrow does this, one eyebrow does this. I think that's what it is. I just think that's what it is. She's just a very nice looking, very symmetrical person. She's got just this perfect face. So yeah, I think that's what it is, which is really weird. But she's... It's almost like they used to mold toys, like, you know, they both got to be the same size and, you know, whatever, each size the same, like from the 80s. And that's what it looks like.
Yeah. I read you, man. Oh, that's cute. Your little crushing on Shin. And it's cute.
No, it's not even that. It's just, I just don't know how else you explain it. She's just very symmetrical.
She's not... asymmetrical.
Yeah. What?
Another way of saying it.
Similar.
Yeah. Anyway, do you collect many discs these days? Physical media? Is that still your thing, or is it all Apple TV now? Now you're not. Yeah.
More of streaming, yeah. I used to really buy like the steelbooks, like with the games as well, like Gears of War steelbook, and then in 5 years' time, it's worth about 40 pence. And it was mint, and it looked great. But then, like we said, we run out of room for like the main collectibles. So no, not anymore. And I did the DCEU stuff. So like when Man of Steel came out, I might have even bought Justice League for completeness, and then thought, what the fuck am I doing? And I've not touched them.
Same.
There's no point with streaming anymore. There's just no point unless it's. Like the ones that I do have are like, I think it was the 2008-ish Superman collection that included Superman Returns and the Donner Cut. I've got like that big thick steel book, but that's it, man. That's the last thing I really got into. So no, I don't.
Okay. Well, this next story is going to be wasted on us then.
Wasted.
And yeah, and that is the complete series of Obi-Wan Kenobi and the complete first season of Andor are getting the Blu-ray 4K steelbook treatment. Now, I have to say, they do look very nice. If you're into this sort of thing, if you're a physical collector and you've already got the... I stopped buying the physical stuff pretty much a couple of years ago. The only things that I've got, really, like the big franchisey stuff that I love, like the Lord of the Rings, I've got like... triple dipped on those, and I've got the Star Wars bits and some other, like Batman, you know, DC bits and bobs. But yeah, I don't buy that stuff much anymore. So I'm not really sure on these, but they do look really nice. And they're going to land in retail at the end of next week. Mm-hmm. Well, pre-orders will be open at the end of next week. So you'll be able to bag both of those different seasons. And it comes with like some limited edition art cards, and the cover art is really nice, and the internal box art and all that stuff looks really cool. And then they've also popped some bonus features on there as well. So for the Obi-Wan Kenobi stuff, you get something called Duels of Fate, Obi-Wan versus Vader, which is a sit down, really a round table with Deborah Chow, Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen. They examine the lightsaber battles, which was going to be pretty cool, I guess. Got something called The Dark Times Villains, which uncovers the lore of the Deadly Inquisitors. And Designing the Galaxy. So say hello to Leia's lovable sidekick Lola and explore the new planets. And a director's commentary as well. And then on Andor, you've got Ferrix Part 1, Imperial Occupation. And that's another sit-down thing. That's Tony Gilroy, Kathleen Kennedy and Diego Luna. They discuss the series' origins. got something called Aldani Rebel Heist, which is on location stuff in Scotland with character spotlights, visual effects breakdowns and stuff. Coruscant, Whispers of Rebellion, explore the stories of the ISB agents Dedra, Senator Mon Mothma and Spymaster Luthen Rail. Something called Narkina 5, No Way Out, which is uncover the Empire's penal system and the prison's Stark look, get to know Kino Loy and some of that stuff. And then Ferrix Part 2, which is another sit-down, which is Tony Gilroy and Diana Luga, Diego Luna, and they cast and crew, and they were all the making of the finale, basically, so that two-parter at the end there. So some cool stuff. I don't know if we get that on Disney Plus. We might do. I don't remember seeing that stuff, but looks kind of cool. And so it's a no from us, I guess, because it's physical, not really doing that. But if you are a physical collector, these are nice little pickups, dude.
Yeah, it's sort of a weird thing, this now, isn't it? Because they do look mint. And like back in the day, I'd have bought these. I don't know what the price point is. Let's have a look. Does it say? No, but what, 40, 50 quid?
Yeah, I was going to say 40-ish quid.
Yep. So a rewatch is going to be great, right? And you know that you're not going to rely on streaming for the 4K quality. You run that through a Blu-ray player, stick it through your PS5 or your Xbox. It's going to look freaking cool, man. The featurettes are really good, but if you rewatch it, you're going to watch it on streaming because then you can watch it anywhere. You can stick it on multiple devices. You can pick up where you left off on your phone if you're on a train or in the bedroom, or you can, whatever. So it's sort of like, man, you've got to be a real collector or a physical media geek for this one. I think the challenge is, as you alluded to there, though, these featurettes, you're sort of screwed either way here. So I'm paying you like 100 and odd quid a year because it's just gone up, right? And I don't get the featurettes. So you're making me pay 100 and odd quid a year, but for extra featurettes, I've got to buy the physical. Like, get fucked. Or you put the featurette that you're making me buy 40 quid for, spend 40 quid for, onto Disney Plus so anyone can get it. Like, get fucked. So you sort of, you are knackered either way there as Disney. And I think that's a really difficult like position to be in as a media provider, because you almost just arrive at either way you're knackered, and the only saving grace that you've got is just aiming these things at collectors that like pretty things and want to own physical copies. Like, it's almost like the featurettes. Like Chris Nolan said it, he's going to put a load of featurettes on the Oppenheimer because he wants people to have that. But I'm not paying Christopher Nolan a monthly subscription to get the Christopher Nolan catalogue. So I get that. But Disney's different. So it's like, you're going to annoy people. And then the only backup is, well, it's just for the people that love physical. And I've got no problem with that. If people love physical discs, brilliant. Like, really cool. Really good. I think it's badass. But, people will be miffed. There's no doubting about that. So that's interesting, man. That's interesting. Mm. But yeah, not for me, just because I'll... The most likely time that I'll want to watch them is like on a plane. Oh, what am I going to download? I'll get this. I've been meant. Mm-hmm. Rewatch of that. I've got nothing else to do on the plane, so I'll rewatch it then. Because there's that much other stuff to watch if you do squeeze an hour free. Watch something else that I've not seen. And I rarely rewatch TV shows. Rarely rewatch TV shows. So... yeah. Not for me.
Not for you, mate. Yeah. And they should do what... I've picked up a ton of movies on Apple TV, and they do that. They give you, for most films anyway, they give you when you go into a film and it presents you with a menu first, and it says play or features, whatever. And they normally bundle on there the stuff that you would get for the special features off the DVD or the Blu-ray, whatever. They should do that. I mean... that'd be mint if they did that, because that would be your complete package then. That would justify rocking the 100 odd quid or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's gone up, hasn't it? Cheeky. Less content, but paying more money.
Oh, it's getting to that point now. I think we all said it years ago. It's getting to that point now where it's better to just have Sky again.
Do you reckon? We're just sort of regressing back to just pick up Sky and have it all.
Of course we are, because Sky are like, get this Netflix discount. All right, I'll do that. And then you watch it through your Skybox. Right? Same with Disney and Paramount, whatever. So it's it was inevitably going to happen, because Netflix call it 20 quid for the 4K package. Disney. So you could easily chuck 150 quid a month if you're not careful, if you're on a dodgy Sky package that's not great. You know, you could easily chuck 120, 130 a month at TV, which is stupidity.
That's crazy. Wild,
yeah. Isn't it just?
Yeah. And then you buy Blu-rays as well.
Mm.
That we're talking about now, and you're spending a lot. Let's hope you've got a decent TV. That's all I say.
Yeah.
If you're spending that much money on media and you're consuming that much content, get yourself a decent TV. Mind you, Sky do that now as well, don't they? For a little while, they've done that Sky Glass thing.
Wouldn't have one of them, though. Nah. Not for me.
It's not LED backlit, so.
Not for me. I'm a Samsung guy. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. Mm. Sam and Sung churning out the goods. Yeah, I've got a Samsung TV, mate. Mm. I like them.
Profit on that.
Saturday. Let's talk about some gaming news, because there's been some shit happening with that. I spoke about a couple of weeks ago the cool, very cool game that Respawn was working on. It was a first-person shooter based on The Mandalorian. Sounded mint. It was one of those kind of not massive sort of live service games, not any big, you know, let's try and cram a million planets in and go everywhere. It sounded like a really cool, it sounded like, you know, like the old kind of linear-ish games that have been out on PlayStation for a while. Things like, there was one called, what was the zombie game on the motorbikes? Whatever that was called. And then Uncharted, that kind of thing. Those really cool, you know what PlayStation's known for, the big story-driven games. It sounded like that kind of thing in Star Wars, but as a Mandalorian. So gushed over that a little bit. Anyway, fast forward to 2 weeks to now, that game's been cancelled. Nice one. And the reason for it, apparently, is because Lucasfilm got involved a little bit and said, we don't see the true value in these sorts of games because there's no lightsabers. There's no force, there's no lightsabers, all that sort of thing. We're relying on a very niche kind of targeted market there with the whole bounty hunt and Mandalorian thing. And I think that's nuts. That's absolutely nuts for them to think that way. Because they did a bunch of layoffs as well throughout the industry again. So yeah, that was one of the things that got cut just because they thought, well, no one's going to play it anyway because you're not using the force and you can't choose a freaking orange lightsaber. You know, you're just playing as a dude in armor. So anyway, that's been cancelled, dude. And then related to that, a bit of good news, I guess, again, this is very niche, but if you're into these type of games, these real-time strategy games, that game that has been made by a company called Bitreactor, that's still going. So if you've heard of a real-time strategy game called XCOM, which is like this alien invasion sort of isometric top-down sort of game, which is very popular in that niche, and the Civilization games as well, those guys are making a Star Wars game, which could be very, very cool. So that's being kept. That's not been set on fire. But dude, that Respawn game, because Respawn, like I said in an episode a couple of weeks ago, Respawn have got the best of both worlds at the minute because they already make the Jedi games. So you've got that very cool linear story driven coolness going on. And they also make that online multiplayer game Apex Legends. So they've got the like first person shooter stuff down as well. So you mix them two together. It would have been a really cool Star Wars game in my opinion. So mate, that's been cut. But if you want mousy, clicky, clicky strategy, you'll be all right.
Yeah, it's a funny one again. I mean, I do get the fact that it's such a niche because you're selling on the back of, you are definitely selling on the back of The Mandalorian. And that is, you know, it's a niche within a niche, you know, FPS like The Mandalorian within Star Wars. It's not, is it a game you're going to sit down with your kids and play at various ages? So I do sort of understand the logic to a degree. But as one of those people that would have liked that, then I'm clearly annoyed that, you know, it's gone because I actually, you know, I would have liked that. So it's, yeah, I do get it. But as one of the target audience members, I'm a bit miffed by it. I do see both sides of that as much as I don't really want to. I do sort of understand it, but I would have liked that. I love an FPS. They're probably like my favorite type of game because you just blitz through them. You can turn them on for 10 minutes, smash them out or whatever. For me, they're just a good game. And anything set in the Star Wars universe. Like I enjoyed the campaign from Battlefront 2 because a lot of that was FPS. And I think as well, you've got to maybe think from Lucasfilm's perspective, you know, Solo flop, there weren't any lightsabers in it, but then Rogue One didn't. Andor, they've commissioned two seasons, not a lightsaber in sight. But I just think it's sort of a, like, do we want to take risks when it's going to require a lot of time and money, you know? It's usual Star Wars, isn't it? Announce something and get a shot of it. You know, we probably get, I don't know, I wouldn't even want to put a percentage on it, but, you know, a lot of things that get announced get cancelled, you know? So
that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and gaming seems more volatile, you know?
Definitely at the minute, so in the last year, especially in the last 3 months or so, there's been so many layoffs throughout the industry. So I guess, yeah, the risk factor is like times 100 at the minute, I guess. So, yeah, I totally get it. I get why, but sometimes you've got to put your nuts out there, though.
That's, you know what I mean? Send them, put that in a letter.
You've got, sometimes if you just, I don't know, I think some of the guys at the top of the chain at some of these game studios, they will have a lot of insight into, it's a little bit like the Steve Jobs thing, right? So there's been a couple of times where he has literally bet everything on his kind of gut instinct about where the market's going to go in computing and all that stuff. Yeah, it hasn't worked out every time, but those times it has worked out. I mean, flipping hell. So I think some of these game studio heads have got to push back a little bit and just say, look, of course, if they truly believe it, if they're just doing it for the money or whatever, then that's never going to work. But if they feel like it's a cool project and it would be cool, then I don't know, I feel like just do it. Just do it, man. Push back. I don't know. That would have been a cool game. It would have been cool.
I think that's the thing. And that's why I think we're annoyed by it, because we're in the target demographic and niche, aren't we? But yeah, it's... Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got to make the money back and a shed load of profit. But it's... it might resurface somewhere. You know what it's like. These things always come about. We always get daft trailers in 2 years' time or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Well, saying that, there is a... Unrelated to this, there is another game that's hanging on by a thread, it seems. So there's a studio that's remaking Knights of the Old Republic. And they've been making it for 5 years now, I think. I think the original studio was Aspyr or Saber, one of the two. And another studio picked it up. I think it's Saber or Aspyr, whichever way around it is. And then that studio is now being sold because of all the cuts and layoffs. They're being sold to another studio, but they're taking that game with them. But they've not heard anything for like 5 years on the development. So just one of the dudes at the studio tweeted to say, yeah, it's still going on, just bear with. So yeah, man, Star Wars is it's a funny old game, isn't it? Can you imagine working in an industry where you're relying on Lucasfilm? You would be absolutely bricking it. Like every single project you're working on, whether it's a book, video game, a film, anything, like you'd just be like, oh, I can't rely on this. We need a plan B, even if this sounds like the best project ever. Can you imagine working on an official Star Wars project? It'd be amazing. So cool. But at the same time, you'd be like, I need a plan B. Because I'm pretty...
It's true, that, isn't it?
You know what I mean?
It is true.
Yeah, yeah. So video game stuff, not exactly checking all the boxes for, especially for us, like you said, in the demographic, but there's a little bit of hope. There is still a little bit going on. So that's video game updates, nothing else.
A new hope, lol.
Lols.
Lolatronic.
Regular new hopes these days. Yeah. How many sunsets you got? Yeah. Twin suns. This is a funny story, dude. How no one has ever noticed this before is funny. I'll tell you the reason why I say that. It's because there's a couple of websites you can go to. Not those ones, Mark. You can say Star Wars screen grabs. And they will literally present you with thousands of images where I imagine some sort of algorithm has paused the film at every frame or second, captured the image, and then put it in a gallery so you can download them. But this story, it seems that nothing has ever picked this up. So in Revenge of the Sith, in the scene where Obi-Wan and Anakin are having their big-ass Duel of the Fates battle towards the end on Mustafar, the bit where they're hovering over the lava and everything, apparently, if you pause the film at exactly 1 hour 59, 3 minutes and 21 seconds, behind Anakin, there's just a random guy standing on the what looks like the floating platform above the lava. And now this story is, I mean, this is the magic of Star Wars, right? So even years and years after the film, we still have this even with the original trilogy, but even years afterwards, and they even link to something in The Mandalorian. They say this is similar to The Mandalorian jeans guy, where there's a paused scene where they're all outside, blasters drawn, ready to rock and roll. And there's just an extra just there, just chilling. But no one caught it up. No one in the edit. No one saw it. They just, you know, let it go. This one's slightly different, though, because it's literally, you can't see him unless you pause the film. It goes by so quickly. It's literally just a single frame. It's a single frame, but because it's 24 frames per second, obviously, you can't see it. It's invisible. So I don't know how it's come about, but somebody must have accidentally, perfect timing, paused it and seen this guy. So this is hilarious. You can't even see Anakin's face. It's a blur because he's like mid-motion. But there's a guy stood behind him looking up at the thing, just almost grinning like, ah, I'm in a Star Wars film. So this is a quirky, cool thing, dude.
I mean, this is pretty wild. How the hell anyone has found this? I have got no idea.
Like, crazy, isn't it?
I have got absolutely not a clue how that's happened.
It must be by accident. Somebody must have paused it at the perfect time.
It can't
time.
Be. Surely to God, that can't be. Like it, like you said, it might be one, even if it's 1 second, 24 frames, right? Even if it's full 24 frames. Yeah. How? I mean, that is so coincidental if that is, has happened, but what the hell?
Yeah, it was discovered by somebody. There was a, over on the Star Wars subreddit, somebody had put, so I'm over on the, oh, it's the Discord server that's linked to the subreddit. Mm-hmm. And yeah, someone just posted it on there. So using QuickTime button pressing, spamming the space bar. And lo and behold, there's a dude right there. And they've put like a zoomed in photo where you can see it's quite blurry. But when you see the actual full widescreen, it's even clearer then. You can see him over Anakin. It's not like, it's like a rock that might be confused with someone's. It's actually someone standing behind him. So it's clearly, so two things have happened here, dude, from a production sort of side. Either one, someone's having it right on. Someone's just having a complete gas here. They thought at frame 18 out of 24, I'm going to pop myself in here. It's like a visual effects guy or somebody. I'm going to pop myself in here just for the crack, knowing that I'm in a Star Wars film and no one's ever going to see
it. Yeah, just like the one frame. Yeah, like you said. Like, what's his name? Like Brad Pitt's character out of Fight Club, Tyler Durden.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Or the other thing is that during this scene, when those two are like hopping around, I'm talking about Hayden and Ewan McGregor, when those two are like hopping around and doing somersaults or they're doing their fight scene, it might have needed like some stunt people around to sort of, you know, just be on hand. So if one of them's doing a particular move or one of them's doing a flip or something like that, just for safety, you know, there's like stunt guys around them. And it just hasn't been taken out when they've composited it into the backgrounds and everything. So I'm hoping it's the first one. That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
He's in deep shit if that is the case. Because the people who have hired this guy before, they'll be like, how many films you worked on? Do we have to go through all these films now and see if you're in, like, you know, you've put yourself in the background or whatever. But anyway, it's hilarious either way, dude. So what a discovery. Revenge of the Sith, this many years later, there's a random dude just in the background there.
I just want to know as well with that, like with the space bar bashing, like was he looking for it? To start with, like, was he just going through Revenge of the Sith, like, ba 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 ba, I will find something, I will find something, and he has. what I mean? Because otherwise it brings us right back to that. It doesn't, like, how we found it on the rewatch doesn't matter. It's that original find in it that I've got a problem with. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's coincidence or someone. Like, imagine this. It is someone that's like, I'm going to find a freaking Easter egg here. And he's smashing it, right? So that's 24 frames per second over a 2 hour and odd movie, right? That's a long time. Mm-hmm. That's not helping us get away from the stereotype of it's all nerds in the mum's basement, is it? That's not helping. Mm-hmm. Go and do something, man. Go outside. Do 10 press-ups. Start with two. But the point is, you're not helping us, mate. You're not helping us. Yeah? We've got girlfriends. On the other hand, I sort of admire it. I'm like fucking also in for it. I'm like, that's pretty badass.
Yeah. When the girlfriends are not around, it's like, yeah, the guy's pretty badass. But when the missus is around, it's like, what a loser. Who sits there and does that? Bashing his keyboard for 2 hours.
Yeah. What kind of... And he then does, you're just like, this is meant. You know, pull him aside. That's just fucking
awesome. Yeah. Little mini high five. Like, nice one, dude. Fair play. What's also funny is in the comments, literally thousands of people have tried to identify who the guy is in the frame.
No, now that's a cool. This is badass. I hope they find him. Please tell me they found him.
Not yet. So there's been like on the original post, it's like underneath where they've edited it. It's like update, final update. And people have said, can't find anything new for who the mystery guy is. We've looked at like crew photographs, who are working on the film, visual effects companies, their team page. So like people have really deep dive into it, dude. Got their sort of detective caps on and like, right, who is this guy? Can't find anything. So now they've just coined the phrase Mustafar Man. That's your lot. That's your lot. Pretty sweet though.
Classic.
Love it.
Bloody Mustafar Man.
Yeah, well, yeah. All sorts happens there, I suppose. Lava in that, isn't it?
What a lava. Yeah, I sort of hope it's just the guy that's put himself in there as well.
I hope so. I hope, and what's going to be even just the icing on the cake would be if that guy is following this, he's just not saying shit. He's like, I'll let you lot just go with it. I'm sitting here cracking up knowing that I'm in a Star Wars film. That's brilliant.
You sort of want him to be like a bit of a myth. Do you know what I mean? Where he's like, is that me? Do you know what I mean? He's a bit DB Cooper. You know, he's a bit.
Yeah.
Ooh, like I almost never want him to get ID'd.
Yeah. Those sorts of characters are always cool. You know, like the Stick from Top Gear and. The mystique is always a lot more attractive than, oh, it's just that guy in his jeans.
Yeah. Exactly that, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, well, if we ever hear anything more about it, we'll let you know, but that's a wicked find. Anyway.
I'm startled. I'm like blown away by it. Because every time you mention that's a great find and want to wrap it up, my brain just goes back to how the fuck did they find that?
Yeah, it's amazing. This is the sort of thing that you talk about down the pub.
Yeah.
And your girlfriends are not there.
Never stop talking about it. I just always talk about it.
God. Last thing we're going to finish up on. Yeah. And it's only a tiny little thing. It's a tweet from, what do you call them? Is it still a tweet out of X or is it an X? Or is it just a post?
I don't know. Oh, God, yeah. I call it an X tweet because it's an X tweet, but it's a tweet that used to be a tweet and now it's an X tweet. So eat that, Elon, your shit.
Oh, good. Yeah. Past tense. All right. A next tweet from Ahmed Best seemingly reveals that he's working on a new Star Wars project. Who knows what character? Because he's in all the mocap gear, dude. He's got the proper suit on. He's got the face camera, the dots, the whole lot. And his quote that went along with it is, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. And then he's accompanied that with two photos, one of Jar Jar Binks and one of him in, it's not from when he was in the flashback scenes from, you know, it's when, you know, he did that kids show.
Yeah.
Jedi something.
Yeah.
It's from that. Anyway, what do you reckon on this? Because I'm pretty sure when he was doing the mocap stuff for Jar Jar back in the prequel stuff, he had to wear some weird costume with it. So this makes me think that he's playing a different character, but set in Star Wars. So this could be anything, man. This could be like, I don't know, like a TV show. Could be like pick-up work for something.
I don't know about this one. I don't know. I like that he used the Carlito's Way line. That's from that line is Carlito's Way. So I think it is.
Cool.
Yep. Pretty badass. But I don't know, man. I mean, I had the same thought as you, which is like, this is clearly not Jar Jar because of the costume's different. Like, he had that big tall headpiece on. But that was, I think, just for the actors to look up to. I don't think it did anything. It was so that Liam Neeson and anyone else interacting was looking at the head as opposed to I'm a best head. So then I was like, well, maybe technology's moved on or whatever. I wondered with this whether it was Jar Jar for an updated something like Star Tours or, you know, Hyperspace Mountain or Rise of Resistance or just something at Disney. Like, you know what I mean? Because Tom Holland's done it. Anthony Daniels has done it. There's been a few others that have done it. Everyone from the sequels have done it for the rides. I just wondered if it was something like that. Would I love it to be Jar Jar? Yeah, because it's 25 years since Phantom Menace. I wouldn't be surprised if there's something comes out. But I don't think it is anything that's mainstream that's Jar Jar. I think if it's Jar Jar, it's something like a ride. Otherwise, I think it's something for like maybe a video game, or they've got him just mo-capping as another little, you know. Well, put it a different way. He's mo-capping for something because people went wild that he came back as Keller and Beck, and what better way to drum up interest from Star Wars geeks than to give Ahmed Best another shot at something and just put him in CGI. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it could be a marketing thing as much as anything. So I don't know, man, the jury's out, but I would say maybe, like I said, if it's Jar Jar, it's for a ride, is my gut. What about you?
Similar thoughts, dude. Absolutely not anything mainstream. I mean, we're not going to get that cancelled Jar Jar, evil Sith Jar Jar movie that was announced 6-7 years ago. So we're not getting that, that's for sure. But yeah, it's probably something like that, isn't it? Like an update, because they are making updates to, is it Galaxy's Edge?
I think they're adding to Star Tours. I don't think they'll do anything like Rise of the Resistance because that's totally away from it. But I know they are updating Star Tours.
Yeah. Because Jar Jar doesn't fit with any of the upcoming projects, does it, that we've got coming? It just doesn't. Purely just from a timeline perspective and all that, it doesn't fit anyway. So, yeah, you're probably right, dude. It's probably an updated thing for the old rides. Trying to rack my brains there, trying to think if there's any video games that have been announced for it, but nah. No games either featuring old Jar Jar. Based on that bombshell of not a massive Jar Jar comeback, but potential update to the old rides, I think we'll wrap it there for episode 211. Thank you so much for coming back and listening to another episode of Spark of Rebellion. Or if you're a newbie here, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. We'll be back next week for 212 to waffle about more Star Wars news. Hopefully there's some more meat on the bones with some Star Wars stuff. But if not, then don't worry. We'll keep you updated with all the stuff that's going on. As I said earlier, make sure you subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcast. We put a new episode out every single Saturday, so keep on top of that. And if you like Spark of Rebellion, if you want to support us, then you can join our other supporters like Kev, Mark, Denise, those guys over at sparkrebellion.com/support. We've got a couple of tiers there. Choose your light or your dark side. Grab yourself an SOR sticker, get some merch. And as of next week, as we're going to be back to regular recording, we're going to start popping out our episodes a wee bit early for our subscribers on those membership tiers. So yeah, sparkrebellion.com/support. You can hop on there. And everything we make through that goes back into the podcast. So regular content, all the equipment, all the production, making sure it's all there. And and we really appreciate all of your support thus far. Dude, it's been a good one, back in the chair.
Yeah, glad to be back, man. It's been a bit hectic, so good to be back doing it. Need to get my head around Bad Batch, get that watched, and we'll do a review probably of the whole season when we finish that over on the Bad Batch Review podcast. But no, it's good to be back, man. It's always nice chatting Star Wars. There's been a fair bit going on, little bits of trickle of news. So I think we'll have a busy few weeks coming up, mate. And yeah, exciting times in a galaxy far, far away. And for Ahmed Best. So keep it up.
Keep up the doodling. And thank you very much once again. And until next week, make sure you take care of yourself and may the Force be with you always.